found in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45 is the account of the healing of the leper. I want to tell you providentially that why I'm here, as Randy has already told you, Pastor Paul is sick today, and so I got an email, Mark Balon and myself, and Pastor Johnny got an email yesterday morning saying that he was sick, and so it's come to me to preach today, and three of the men that were with me yesterday, Randy, Brother Mark, and Mark also, the two Marks, told me that I should re-preach the message that I preached Thursday night at the mission. And we have a primary goal, I would assume, at the mission, and that is to bring the gospel to men. And that sounds very obvious, but we try to do it in such a way that the gospel is understood by whoever walks into the room. And so I have found that the Gospels have a lot of stories in them, true stories, little vignettes, little pictures of the Gospel, if you will, little pericopes. They're all over the Gospels. Each individual story in the Gospel is a picture of the Gospel itself in its doctrine and in its illustration. So in our case here, this true story of Jesus healing this man, this loathsome man with a horrible disease, God cleansed him of his filthiness, his fleshly filthiness. But it is a perfect picture of salvation. It is a perfect picture of making a dead sinner, a filthy sinner, if you will, clean from the inside and the outside. So we'll read verses 40 and go on through to the end of the chapter and then deal with our text. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. Verse 41, And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. We have in our text a man who was in his late stages of leprosy. He made his way through a very large crowd that was gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark tells us that he fell on his knees before Jesus. Luke tells us that he prostrated himself. He fell on his face and worshiped Jesus. He fell down and he said, Lord, if it's your will, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you are willing, use your power to cleanse me. Well, this man made a spectacle of himself. I want to draw a picture of what happened here, how this man approached the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to understand the spectacle that he made of himself, we have to understand the situation that the man found himself in. What was it like to be this man? How did he get to this place? Well, he was a normal person like anybody else in the world. He may have been a young man. He may have been an old man. Nobody really knows. He may have had a couple of kids, maybe three or four with a young wife. Again, he may have been a grandfather with many grandchildren. It really doesn't make any difference. But what happened to the man does make a difference. He was working one day, doing something, and he noticed something on his skin. He saw a spot. He saw a pink spot on his skin, maybe his arm. He looked at that, and he knew what it was. He knew right away what it was. probably thought, it could be a pimple, but I know it's not. I know what that is. So he took himself to the priest. He showed himself to the priest. That was required by Jewish law to go to the priest, present yourself, to be examined by him. Well, sure enough, the priest examined him and gave him the bad news. You are a leper, and there's nothing I can do for you. There's no medicine for you. There's no prayers I can give. There's nothing I can do. You are a leper, and it's only going to get worse. And so the man took this news. He went to his family, and he told his family from a distance that he was a leper. He said goodbye to his children and his wife, his grandkids, whoever they were. And he left them. He couldn't kiss them. He couldn't hug them. He had to leave them. And so he left the town. He left the city wherever he lived, and he lived by himself. Well, the disease gradually got worse. No doubt at the beginning, his family went out to meet him, brought him food, brought him clothing, tried to make him as comfortable as possible, always wanted to encourage him. But as the days and the weeks and the months rolled on, his situation got worse and worse and worse. Very, very tough on this man and his family. He could no longer work, could no longer provide for anyone, couldn't provide for himself. And he watched his body deteriorate, his mind deteriorate. Depression set in. The sadness of his family. This is the situation he found himself in. Finally, it reached a pinnacle. Finally, he was in its advanced stages. The man was in agony. He was in a horrible situation. And this is where we find our story. This man approaching Jesus Christ and lying prostrate before him in his advanced stages of leprosy. The Jews accounted him as a dead man. He was an unclean man. He was a physical and a social outcast. He was required to wear torn clothing. His hair was to be unkept. And he was to wear a veil above his upper lip so you could not, no one could see the bottom. All you could see was his nose and his eyes. Why? Because when he was walking in the vicinity of anybody, they could look at the man, see how he was clothed, see how he was behaving, and they could tell that he was a leper. So they could protect themselves from him. And not only that, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. This was a situation that this man was in. One man said it was as if he was leading his own funeral procession. He was required to live like this until the day he died. If he was a mean man, a bitter man, a man that wanted vengeance on God or anybody else for what had happened to him, and he tried to enter into the city gates or to commune with the people, he was going to get 39 lashes. It was the only way to protect the people from people that had this disease. And so they would simply whip them into submission. This was an extreme case, no doubt. But this was how the culture dealt with leprosy in the borders of Israel. Very, very tough. This was their hospital. This was their health care system. It was the best they could do at the time. Well, obviously, this man was in a desperate state. Obviously, we see him lying prostrate before the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, he didn't care about all the rules of propriety. He didn't care about all the rules of ethics and decency. He broke all the rules to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't care about the consequences of his actions. They meant nothing to him anymore. He forced himself through a large crowd of people to get to Christ. That means he was pushing his way through. Imagine the people aghast at seeing this and doing their best to get out of his way, scared that they were going to get the disease themselves. And when he made his way into that crowd, into the midst of that crowd, he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and lay prostrate before him. Matthew says, he said, Lord, Lord, Kurios, if you are willing, use your power to make me clean. What's important here is not what he asked, but how he asked the question. If you're willing, only if you're willing, only if you desire, by your own power, your own superpower, dunamis, to make me clean, then make me clean. That means that he had no doubt that Jesus Christ could do this. How this man came to faith, we do not know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we see that he had great faith. If it's your willing, Lord, make me clean. He only wondered if the Lord Jesus Christ would make him clean. And the wonderful news of the gospel is Jesus does desire to make men clean. Would Jesus show mercy on him? Would Jesus show compassion on him? Would Jesus heal him? That was the question. Is it your will to do this? Lord, please do this. I know you can. This man was putting all of his hope on the loving kindness and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a picture of a man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 41, we see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Those are the only two words he needed to say. I will. And that was it. The man was clean. The heart and the soul of Jesus, his inner guts, his heart and soul were moved with compassion. But it didn't stop there. It just wasn't an act of compassion looking at the man. He acted on that compassion. And that's what makes the Lord Jesus Christ so wonderful, is that not only is he moved with compassion, he does something about it. He had a strong desire to relieve this man of his infirmities, of his sufferings. He put forth his hand and he touched a leper, the foulest of the foul, and he touched this man. I will, be thou clean. By saying I will, Jesus was declaring that he is the sovereign God of this universe and that he has the power and authority to cleanse men of their uncleanness. And he did it. He didn't need to touch him to heal him. His word, by his power and might, healed this man. But by touching him, he showed his compassion and his love that he has on poor sinners like this man, like you, and like me. In verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, the Lord Jesus Christ, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. This is the record of what had happened, simply by Jesus saying, I will. In one moment, the man is the most despicable, detestable, repugnant of all men. And the next, he is as clean and as healthy as anyone has ever been seen. The rotting flesh, all gone. The polluted blood, cleansed. The brittle bones, back to their health once again. The defigured nose, the face, the sunken eyelids, all back to normal once again. The loss of hair, a full head of hair. The mangled fingers, the mangled toes, some of them maybe even gone by then because of the rotting flesh, all back to normal. The horrible smell of the rotting flesh was gone in a moment of time. His skin was perfect. It was spotless. He was healed completely. Not partially, not a little bit, not gradually, but healed completely in a moment of time. He was normal. He was cleansed from the inside and the out. And all of this took place before this large crowd. 43, and he straightly charged him. The Lord Jesus Christ straightly charged him. It's the picture of a horse looking down and snorting. The Lord straightly charged him. You go from this compassionate, loving kindness to a snort. And Jesus straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away. He said, go away. What did he say? And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. He strongly charged him to remove himself immediately and present himself before the priest. Why? Because Jesus came here to fulfill the law. This came out of Leviticus chapter 1. This is what you're to do. Now go back and present yourself to the priest. It's going to take a week. All that the priest will do, the examinations, the sacrifices, the presenting you before Israel as a cleansed individual, it will take a week, and you were to do this right now. He said, say to no man nothing, literally. Go immediately and do what I say. Look at the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have taken all the glory for himself, but he didn't. He obeyed the commands of the Old Testament canon and told this man to do the same. Who would not want to acclaim the acclaim? Who would not want the attention over this? Wouldn't it be legitimate? Jesus said it's not legitimate to take the attention away from his Father and the glory of his Father. He sent this man back and said, obey the law of God. Go do this. Sadly, this man could not obey the first commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him. He said, go do this, and we find the man couldn't do it. But he went out and began to publish it much, verse 45, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. This man wanted to glue himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want to go to the priest. This man had so much humility, so much determination to get to Christ and ask him to do his will. And then finally, when Jesus says, this is my will, he disobeyed. Moments ago, he was a walking dead man. And now he's in perfect health. You would think he could do what he was commanded, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't contain his emotions. He couldn't hold in the joy that he had. He had to tell the whole world what had just happened to him. He wanted to tell anyone that would listen to him concerning everything that he knew about Jesus of Nazareth. So he broke the rules. I'm not saying it was the right thing to do, but that's what happened. He made so much about what Christ had done for him that the noise about Christ was overwhelming. Everybody knew about it. It was so big that Jesus could not enter into cities anymore. He had to stay out in the wilderness. So what did the people do? They left their homes and their towns and their cities. They went way beyond the borders of Israel, and they sought Jesus Christ out. He could not get away from the crowds because of his popularity, of his compassion and his love on this man. The crowds, literally, the Bible says, kept coming to him, would not stop coming to him from every direction. And this has always been the case. This is the way it always works when people are cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since he left heaven and came down to earth as the Son of God to save us from our sins, men that get saved have to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why men preach the gospel. Like that man, men who preached the gospel were unclean, and God saved them. Like that man, men were polluted in their sins, and they were made clean. Like him, Jesus did the impossible. He saved that man and saves others. And men have to noise abroad the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleanses people. And when he cleanses somebody from the inside out, they have to tell the world. And that's how the gospel goes forth in every generation. A man gets saved, a woman gets saved, a child gets saved, and the world must know about it whether they want to hear it or not. And that's why the gospel goes forth. Without men being saved, the gospel would never go forth. And so I just want to put this little story, this vignette, into perspective if we can. I tried to push the button and I didn't push it. But anyway, I think we have a few minutes here. The healing of this man, the healing of the leper, is a graphic illustration of our standing before God. That's what it is. This leper is a picture of a sinner, a born sinner, a man who was born into the human race, a woman, a child that was born into the human race as a sinner. Men do not become sinners. They are sinners. They're born sinners. And this is a graphic illustration of a sinner. It is also a graphic illustration of a sinner in desperate need to be cleansed. And lastly, it is a graphic illustration of Jesus Christ's willingness to save sinners. This is the wonder of this small story. Five little verses, and the whole gospel is portrayed in this little teeny story. The best thing that ever happened to this man was that he got leprosy. I'll say that again, because nobody believes that. How many have been sick? How many have gotten horrible diseases? How many have had the whole world turned upside down, or a loved one died and cut off when it wasn't supposed to happen? And in this case, like all other cases, leprosy was the best thing that ever happened to this man. Until he saw that little pink spot on his arm, he was never in need of the Savior. He was like everybody else. He got up every day. There was no problems with him. He walked around. Life was good. But when he got that little spot on his arm and he got leprosy, his whole life was never going to be the same again. It is also like that for a man who sees that small blemish of sin in his life. There's nothing more wonderful than when a man wakes up one day and has the twangs, the feelings of guilt that he is a sinner before God. It might be small. He puts it out of his mind. He gets up, he goes to work, and he does his best to live his life the way he's supposed to. And yet, the guilt of sin rushes over that man, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And he does everything he can to get rid of it. He goes back to his old sins. He does this, he does that, he goes here. He does anything he can to keep it out, push it away. He goes to this religion and that philosophy, and he reads this, and he goes to see that. Anything he can do, keep it away from me. That's how a man gets saved. Conviction of sin. That little spot, that leprosy, is a picture of a man who was convicted of sin. Well, the first time a man is convicted of his sin, it's not so bad. Weeks might go on. Months go on. Sometimes years go on. But at the end of that process, the man is more vile than he was before. He's in his late stages of leprosy. There's nothing left to do. It's too late. There's no hope. He's going to die. He's unclean. That's what happens to a man when God strikes a man down and reveals to him by his holy law that he is a condemned sinner to die. This is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Every day a man wakes up under conviction of sin, saying, there's no hope for me, there's no hope for me. He's unclean. He's an outcast. He's miserable. He's depressed. His family doesn't know what's wrong with him. They think he's crazy. and finally in a desperate state. When there's no hope left, when there's no more options, when you've done all that you can to get rid of this horrible burden on your back, when everything has been tried to get rid of it, what do? You finally know by faith that Jesus Christ is the only one that can help you, and you flee to Him. You knock your family over. You knock your friends out of the way. You do all that you can. You go through the crowd, and you find yourself prostrate before Christ, and you beg Him to save you. Lord, if it's your will, you can make me clean. That's how a man gets saved, and no other way does a man get saved. There is only one way of salvation, and that is the only way. Seeking salvation is the act of a desperate man. And if you're a professing Christian and you've never been a desperate man, then you do not know what salvation is. In a desperate act, a man will break through everything to get to Christ. He will not care if his parents hate him, if his mother and father hate him, if his brothers and sisters hate him, if his best friends hate him. It will not matter. He has to get to Christ. He will forsake all to get that burden off of his back and find reconciliation to God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will not matter. He will not be concerned about what people think about him. It will not matter. He will do whatever it takes because he is in a hopeless state. He's in a desperate state. There's no place else to go. If I don't do this, I'm going to die. That is a man who wants to be saved at all costs. And it's the only way to be saved. If you haven't done that, and you say that you're in Christ, I fear that you are deceiving yourselves. Another observation we can make is that Jesus Christ is compassionate, and Jesus Christ is personal. The leper shows us that any and all can approach the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none that is too polluted, none that is too vile, none that is too decomposed, none that is too dead to be saved. Men are dead in trespasses and sins. They're not sick. They don't need to be healed from a sickness. They're dead. The flesh of that man was rotting. Why was it rotting? Because the flesh was dead. And Jesus Christ had to make it alive. And that's what Jesus Christ did. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It is faith in the power. It is faith in the power, compassion, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our almighty God and Creator, Jesus Christ, who created the heavens and earth, has the power to make us alive. No one else can do that. There is no place else to go. No place else to go. Men go to the four corners of the earth to find satisfaction and to get rid of the sin guilt. And yet there's only one place to go, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was moved with compassion. Apart from Jesus Christ being moved from compassion, there is no gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the righteousness of God. But apart from the righteousness of God, apart from the compassion and love of Jesus Christ, without that motivating force, where is the gospel? Jesus was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and he touched him. He touched him. There is no person too great a sinner. There is no person too desperate. There is no person too far gone that cannot run to Christ for compassion, that cannot run to Christ for mercy, that cannot run to Christ for reconciliation to his Father. No, there's no person that is too great that cannot do that. Jesus was moved with compassion and stretched forth the one who was unclean. Nobody else got touched that day but him. All of those people that were thronging him, Jesus touched that one. The worst of the worst, the foulest in the crowd, Jesus Christ touched him. This is the epitome of the grace of God. This is how Jesus Christ saves sinners. That is the reason God sent his only begotten Son. Because without him, no man can be saved. That the clean one should make the unclean clean. That's what Jesus Christ did by coming to this earth. The spotless Lamb of God shed his blood, gave his flesh on the altar, and shed his blood in order to make the foulest of the foul clean. What a wonderful Savior that we have. There is no soul that is too polluted or too sick that our great physician cannot heal him. And lastly, I just want to ask a couple of questions. Our text tells us that Jesus Christ touched him. He touched him. And very simply, has Jesus Christ touched you? Are you a professing Christian? Are you a member of this church? Are you a visitor of this church? Has Jesus Christ touched you? Because it is the only way a man can be reconciled to God. Has Jesus Christ touched you? Literally touched you? It is the only way a man can be healed of his sin sickness. Has Jesus Christ touched you? It is the only way a man can be made clean by the blood work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is not, have you made a decision? Have you decided to get religion to make your loved ones happy? Have you got baptized? Have you joined a church? Have you done this? Have you done that? That is not the question. The question is, has Jesus Christ touched you the way he touched the leper? Were you happy? Were you happy all those years in your sin? Did you ever have a time in your life when you saw that pink spot in your arm like that man did? Because you need to have that time in your life. Was there ever a time in your life when you saw that spot and you said, I'm unclean. I don't need a priest to tell me. I know it myself. Because if you haven't had that, you're not saved. Have you ever got to the point in your life when you're an outcast? When you're polluted? When you're polluted from head to toe? From your innards? From your guts and your soul and your heart? When you know you're a polluted sinner? Have you ever been to that place? And if you were there, did you, like the leper, fight your way to Jesus Christ, no matter how hard it was to get to him to be saved? The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Are you a violent one? Have you taken the kingdom of God by force? Have you stormed the kingdom and not let anything get in your way? Because if you haven't, you do not understand the grace of God. Did you, like that desperate leper, storm the castle? Because that's how a man gets saved. Didn't care about anything else. Didn't care about touching those poor people. Didn't care about the 39 lashes. He had to get to Christ. Lord, if it's your will, cleanse me. Has Jesus touched you? That's the issue for all of us. And in every generation, in this room, in rooms across America today, the issue is, has Jesus Christ touched you? If he has, you are a new creature in Jesus Christ. You are not the same that you used to be. You are cleansed from inside and out. You were once a filthy, rotten sinner, a leper, outcast. And now you are made white as snow, clean by the blood work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that? Can you truly say that? Because if you can't say it, then do all that you can to get to Christ. He is a Lord of compassion and mercy. Have you been radically changed? Are you like that leper? Were you once him, and now were you like his new body? Because that's the picture of salvation, a radical change in heart and mind and personality, even in countenance. If he has, you are not the same person as you were. And that really what it comes down to, is it not? Are you the same person you were before? Are you deceiving yourselves and all around you? Or are you truly changed in heart and in mind? Has Jesus Christ touched you? Has Jesus Christ touched me? This is the question of the ages, if you will. It is the only thing that matters in a man and woman and child's life. Look to Christ. Flee to him. Storm the gates. Do what you will, but flee to him. Lay prostrate before him and beg him for mercy. That is the message of the gospel. It is illustrated in this short little story of this man that had leprosy. And he was made white as snow that day. And he's been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for 2,000 years now. Isn't that wonderful? He was a radically changed individual. The leprosy was an outward manifestation, a picture of his true conversion from sin unto death and to salvation unto life. All right, we'll stop there.